Lord, we thank you for our scripture readings, which remind us of the great work of interior liberation you wish to work in all of your children. And so we just pray for faith and confidence in the words from the prophet Isaiah that you want to set the captives free and to take courage. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit to be fanned into flame in our own lives, that any discouragement we may be feeling may be removed with a deep abiding trust in you and your plan of redemption for us and for the whole world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the second reading from James. Remember, somebody told me a joke years ago. This was when I was at St. Michael's, my first assignment. And he said this man was sitting outside the church and they wouldn't let him come in because he wasn't dressed well enough. And then along came Jesus and sat down next to him and he said, "They wouldn't let me in either." Never forgot that. But that just shows we're not supposed to be making judgments about people, and we want to create an environment where everybody can come and discover the wonderful plan that God has for them, a plan of living in freedom, freedom from fear and slavery, and knowing how to live their life in the right way, ordering their lives towards love of God and love of neighbor. So that's kind of the message tonight. This isn't the traditional three-point homily. I don't want to get predictable, you know. So it didn't come to me that way. But I'm excited because, you know, anytime the scripture readings call us to really focus on that interior liberation, I start to think that that's the amazing gift of our faith, is that you can be in an environment where everything is just spinning out of control and just yet feel this incredible peace flowing through your heart, that you know who you are and you can do God's work, and it's not, you know, contingent on other people, whether or not they do the right thing or not. We always have the capacity to live out of that inner self through the grace of the Holy Spirit and do the right thing. And it's a lot easier when you have people around you that are doing that and the current's flowing in that direction. But it's still possible to be a really fruitful and productive Christian, even in the most difficult circumstances. And we certainly see that with our saints, don't we? That a lot of them had very huge challenges in their life, but they took that time away with the Lord and he began to direct their attention on what they could do to renew the world around them, starting where they were planted. So that old saying from the 60s, bloom where you're planted, right? And we can always have the capacity to do God's work. So that interior liberation is exactly why Jesus came. It says in Acts 10, you know, that he came to liberate us from the oppression of the devil. How Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and freeing those who were oppressed by the devil. So that process awaits all of us. We all are invited into this wonderful interior journey of conversion. And God's grace heals and purifies us, bringing out the very best in us. We don't need to be afraid. That's the work of Satan. God told you that? You can't trust God. He's just always trying to undermine us confidently approaching the throne of grace, the throne of God, and receiving the healing and strength that we need to continue our journey. So he's trying to distract us from that process. And as we open the door to healing in our lives, and Dr. Bob Schutz talks about this in his book, Be Healed, when he opened himself, his own life to the healing power of the Lord, it began to just flow into his entire family, and relationships that had been broken for years started experiencing tremendous liberation and healing. So it's amazing how when we open the door, God just floods and is so generous in bringing that grace to other people around us. So it can be a real like lightning rod of transformation for healing in our families. And let's face it, our families are really in bad shape today. A lot of people don't talk to each other. I remember meeting with a woman once, her husband died, and she's just a lovely person, very devout believer, and she just shared with me that her son just stopped talking to her when her husband died. Like it was her fault or something, I don't know why, but I just thought, really? He doesn't even talk to you anymore? I just felt so sad for her. I could never do that to my mom, you know? I mean, I text her, sometimes she answers back, but, you know, going home in a few days to see her. But to just cut off your relationship with somebody like that in your family, it's a terrible thing. And a terrible pain. So we want to make sure that we're opening our hearts to this healing power that God has for us. And yesterday I was in this church doing a little video prayer meeting with people from all over the world. Literally somebody was from New Zealand. They have the neatest accents. And unlike Australia, I can actually understand her. I remember going to Australia and I was trying to talk with somebody in a store. It just wasn't working. I said, "This is scary. We're both speaking English and we can't understand each other." And I finally just gave up. But yesterday's little prayer meeting was a reminder to me that God is always waiting to kind of blow off the lid of your rigid ways of thinking about how he's going to work and how he's going to support you and help you and bring healing into your life. He can use all kinds of people, not just Catholics, because this was an ecumenical prayer meeting with people of different denominations, but it was just beautiful. And the time of fellowship and prayer and just waiting on the Lord to see if he had a word for us, oh, I was just blown away. Actually, tears flowing down my eyes. because I wasn't expecting that. And, you know, we're raised to kind of think that God is going to provide the support in the traditional way, and this is how we were taught in the seminary. And then sometimes those structures kind of get diseased or they just don't work, but He always finds a way. He always finds a way to give us what we need to serve Him well. And yesterday was a huge reminder of that. So the more rigid we get and controlling we get, the more we suffocate ourselves. It's all about surrender. If you come to confession, I have a little gift for you. It's called the Litany of Trust. It's from these sisters in New York, and it's just a litany, just asking for a deeper trust in God. I have it in English and Spanish. I always hope I give the right one out. It's like somebody in English, and I give them a Spanish one. It's like, Father, I don't speak Spanish. But we ordered a bunch of those and want to give those out as a resource for us to grow in our ability to trust in the Lord. And one of the things that I was introduced to probably 10 or 12 years ago was the Unbound Ministry from Neil Lozano. So we had a big three-day conference at St. Stephen the Martyr. I went and got trained, and we did some practicum stuff with it, and I've been using it ever since. And it's a wonderful, simple method, and there are five keys to experiencing interior healing or inner healing. I'm going to go over the first two tonight, because it's too long to go over the five. And I actually looked ahead, which is very unusual for me, at the readings for next weekend, and they fit very well with this whole theme. So the first key in experiencing this liberation and being freed from the oppression of the enemy is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. So repentance is basically just being humble and saying, you know, there are certain things I'm doing in my life that aren't working for me. I'm not happy. You know, maybe sin, habits and things, ways of thinking of other people. So I need to repent. It's the first step in the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. That's what Jesus said. So He says the following, and I'll make this resource available to all of you on the website so you can have it. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a changed life. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repentance involves turning away from sin by expressing sorrow, asking for God's forgiveness, and surrendering to His mercy and His reign. Faith is expressing confidence in God and in His word. Repentance and faith enable you to enter a new way of life in God's kingdom. So Father Scanlon used to always say, repentance always leads to joy. Repentance always leads to joy. So it's recognizing that God loves me and doesn't want me to live under a spirit of slavery and fear and oppression, but wants to set me free, and I believe that. So that's where the faith part comes in. The second key and the last one I'll discuss tonight is forgiveness. One of the most important things of all. When we don't forgive, we're just like a target for Satan and for all of his evil works. It just causes so many problems, wars, hateful words, divisions. Unforgiveness is just a huge venom and poison. And so we don't ever want to be having that inside of our heart. So He says the following about forgiveness. Freedom is found in forgiveness. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to forgive others from the heart. The cross of Jesus reveals to us the greatness of God's love. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The power of the cross is the power of God's forgiveness. You can receive the fullness of God's forgiveness when you allow it to flow through you to others. When you forgive by faith, the chains of resentment and bitterness can no longer hold you. It truly sets us free. It's a great song by Matthew West called Forgiveness that you should listen to on YouTube. It's just a wonderful message about the person it sets free is you. You're no longer bound to anybody else, and when someone walks in the room, your mood doesn't change immediately. Like, oh, I can't stand that person. They did something really bad to me 5 years ago, right? My watch is talking to me. It's probably saying, it's time to shut down your homily. I just said something. That's scary. Anyways, forgiveness is a great thing, and it's a process, so we don't want to get frustrated. And sometimes, I've told you before, you know, you think you're all done, and so there's some residue left, or there's some more work that the Holy Spirit needs to do, kind of dig down a little deeper and get some of that infection out and cleanse us and move us along. But God is so gentle in that process and helpful, so we don't ever want to get frustrated. And if you make up in your mind, I'll never forget that person, you've already put a curse on yourself. You never want to say that. I mean, I know one priest that if you say that, he nails you right away. You just made a vow. You just made a curse on yourself by saying, I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to forgive that person. That's just a defeatist attitude in our mind. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It might take me 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a week, a month, but I'm going to get over this with God's help. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we thank You for the invitation to set us free, and we just ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of humility, that we just be honest about what's going on in our lives, and if there's anything that's not from You, we want You to remove it and help us move along in freedom so we can call other people to freedom who are oppressed, who aren't happy, depressed, and that your joy may spread throughout our land. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.